It is book pick time once again, and our next guest is here to tell us about the great tomes and probably ones that you've just never heard of. His mission is to change that to make sure that they are on your radar. Matt Tannenbaum is the man for the job. He joins us to present a fine list of books that will have you up all night turning pages, maybe even reading during the day. Who knows? Matt is from the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, and we welcome him to the program this morning. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Joe. Nice to hear your voice.
Well,
I can almost see you.
Was that a shot? No. It's very nice to have you on. I thank you very much, and it's always good to have you here. So where would you like to begin?
We're going to begin. You know, today is the day after Yom Kippur, the Jewish high holy days. And so I thought we'd start with a couple of books that have some kind of basis in Judaism. And the first one is called Shmagugel.
Shmagugel.
Shmagugel. You know, Shmagugel. And it's Shmagugel. The subtitle is Yiddish Words for Modern Times by Danny Klein. Daniel Klein. Danny Klein is a Great Barrington resident. I think you've had him on your show.
He's a dear friend of the show. Yes, he's amazing.
Great, great humorous stuff. And he's put together a book of Yiddish words for the 21st century, like cyber schmooze.
Which is?
To engage in long, animated, and gossipy conversation on the Internet.
Yeah, all right. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
Do you know what a schmagoogle is?
I assume it has something to do with Googling, but I don't know.
Exactly. You know, a schmo and a schmagagle and a schlemiel. You know what a schlemiel is. He's the guy. He's the waiter who spills the soup. The schlemazel is the guy that he spills the soup on.
Gotcha.
These are all prefixes. Schmagoogle is someone so insignificant that if you Google their name, nothing comes up.
Oh, well, that's sad and yet helpful.
Yeah, that's sad and good. The only other one I want to give you, but then you have to look at the whole book, because the book is, how many pages? It's like 100 and something pages, and it's broken down into different chapters like social media and technology, family, dating and romance, insults and complaints. That's a good chapter. But the one I was talking to Danny the other day, the one he likes a lot is Matzah Pizza.
Oh, okay.
Matzah pizza is half Jew and half Italian.
Okay.
And it comes from the town on Long Island called Massapequa, where there are a lot of half Jews and half Italians.
Schmagoogel is the name of the book. It's out from our friends at Chronicle Books, and Danny Klein is the man behind it. All right, what's next?
And we have signed copies available.
Oh, they're a rare thing these days. That's good. All right.
That's right. We dropped a box of books off for Danny, and he signed them last week. The next one is Andy Weinberger's second mystery. I think one time a couple of months ago I was on your show. We talked about his first book, An Old Man's Game. Old Man's Game is the story of a semi-retired Jewish detective who's called in to uncover the mystery of a celebrity rabbi who dies mysteriously while eating his matzo ball soup in Cantor's Deli in Los Angeles. This Amy Stewart, who's written all the Miss Cop Waits for the Gun books, she says what Andy has done is he's written a new, fresh, and original book, but it already feels like a classic. And it's in the tradition of like a Raymond Chandler or a Walter Mosley or a Sue Grafton. These are the way he comes, the way his character muses while he's driving around Los Angeles. It's all about Los Angeles. It's all about the Jewish community in Los Angeles. This second one is called Reason to Kill, and Amos Parisman is hired to find a missing singer, Risa Barsky, and her manager, his name is Pinky Blystiff, has hired Amos to find the young woman who's gone missing. But then, of course, it becomes a different scene altogether. And his writing is just so terrific. Andy and his late wife, Lilla, apprenticed here at the bookstore when they lived in the Berkshires 30 years ago, and then went out to California and opened up Reader's Books in Sonoma. But Andy always had this secret. He wanted to be a writer. so many booksellers want to be writers.
Oh, sure.
You know, and it's a curse. But Andy has just he's risen above the curse, and he's a great writer. It's so much fun. I have so much fun reading his books. So that's the second one. That's Reason to Kill, yeah. Published by Prospect Park Press.
Now, if you don't answer that phone, do you like lose a sale?
No.
Okay.
Gus is up front. All right.
Good. I didn't want you to.
Okay. Right. So
I bet they're calling right now for a signed copy of Shaboom Google. Right, that's my guess.
That would be just lovely. The next one is another local book, and it's by Robert Oakes, who is a singer-songwriter and a teacher, and he also leads ghost tours at the Mount, and his first book is called Ghosts of the Berkshires. And, Joe, do you like ghost stories?
I'm okay. Sure, yeah, they're fine.
I can't read them.
I don't know. I guess I don't believe in ghosts, so I don't. I don't know. I often. Here's the thing, Matt. I know this isn't going to help you sell books, but normally when I hear someone tell a ghost story, I find myself being annoyed. I don't know why.
You find yourself being what?
Annoyed. And I know it's irrational, and I certainly don't want to poor Robert has done a beautiful job here. I don't want to say anything against the book, but you asked, and that was my answer.
Well, I don't read ghost stories either. But this is a well put together book because it tells about the ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not actually the when you open the page, it's not going to be someone who's jumping up and grabbing your throat from behind.
Right. So he's reporting on these stories that people have encountered about the spectral in the world.
In
the Berkshires.
In the Berkshires, right.
Yeah.
So he hits all the famous places like the Red Lion Inn and the Mount and Norm Keg and what was I looking at this morning? Shadowbrook, which was it haunted? I mean, Carnegie lived there for a short time. Stokes, his guest, suffered a terrible accident, and it was so. Was that haunted? Is that a ghost? It's hard to say. But these are the stories of these great places in the Berkshires that have something to do with something supernatural, something that is not quite in the ordinary.
And it's always those places, right? It's always like the Red Lion Inn. You're never going to read in a book like this about a ghost
Motel
at the...
Six.
Well, right, like a ghost at the Pittsfield Wendy's. You know, you're not going to read that.
Right. Well, that's because Wendy's has like a big PR department and they won't let you.
Well, I think it has something to do with Frosties, but keep going.
And we have signed copies of this available, signed by Robert, not by the ghosts.
And by the way, while I've been disparaging ghost stories, I have to say that I've seen this book, and Robert sent me a copy. It is really cool. It is a beautiful book. They did a great job on it, and it's very nicely done. History Press puts these books out, and they're just gorgeous. So congratulations. It's beautiful.
And History
really
Press,
nice
you know, has they publish all these great local books.
Yes,
they do. We have a number of them by Nini Gilder, the Hawthorne's Lennox, and Wharton's Lennox. And Carol Owens has one. So then Amy LaFay put one together about the history of Lennox, all photographs and postcards. And they do a nice job at History Press.
Yeah, I just got one on radio in the region recently. It's really good stuff. Very, very good. Okay.
Let's go to a big publisher now, Liveright. And Liveright has just published Jill Lepore's new book, If Then. This is called If Then, which is what do you call that? If this happens, then that will happen.
Yeah.
If then, how the Simulmatics Corporation invented the future. Do you know anything about this book? Have you heard about it?
I know, this is what I know about the book. I know that it is not what she normally writes about.
No, it's like a very lively, almost a social history of these characters who were liberal... white, mostly Jewish, back to the Jewish theme, men who decided that they would build, when Univac and Equivac and IBM first came out with these huge computers back in the late 40s and early 50s, they realized that they could use computers to figure out human behavior. Their stock offering in 1961, when they started their company, the quote-unquote, the company proposes to engage principally in estimating probable human behavior by the use of computer technology. But what happened, you know, all very, very altruistic. Oh, you know, we're going to find out how people believe in things, and you know, maybe we'll sell them a dishwasher too. But then they used it to predict how the war in Vietnam would play out, and they fed it all the wrong data, and then they used it to try to predict when there would be race riots in the late 60s. Johnson's administration did that, so it was unintended consequences. But Jill Lepore, I mean, her writing is just, her essays in The New Yorker they're the ones that keep me up at night.
Yeah.
And they're terrific. And these, her other books on American history are terrific.
Amazing.
But this one, How Simulmatic Corporation Invented, Simulmatics, they tried to like coin that word like cybernetics, but it never really took.
No, didn't catch on. It's so, If Then by Jill Lepore. Did you want to say more about it? Did I cut you off?
No. I'm just starting to read it. I loaned a copy out the other night, so I never got to finish that night's reading. So I brought it home last night, but instead of reading it last night, I worked on the rest of these reports for you.
People coming over to the house to borrow books before you're done reading them?
You know, booksellers. You know, we cultivate good habits, but also bad. He's also my brother-in-law, so that works.
Oh, all right. Okay, that makes more sense. Okay, I get it now. All right, next.
Next, great new book called Levon. Levon's subtitle, From Down in the Delta to the Birth of the Band and Beyond by Sandra Tooze, published by Diversion Books. And I was hip to this book by my neighbor here in Lenox, Lee Everett, whose photograph of Levon Helm graces the cover of the book. And, you know, I almost feel like I'm usurping a golden notebook on this one because this is a Woodstock book.
Yeah.
But I just read it and loved it so much. Always loved Levon Helm with the band. And this book is very sympathetic to Helm, his roots down in Arkansas as a rockabilly player, and then joining the rock group, the Hawks, Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks, and then that later became the band and backed up Bob Dylan, and they got booed off the stage because they played electric music when nobody was ready for that. And then 10 years later, they went back on the tour in 1974. I was at that tour, and they played backup for Dylan, and they got cheered. And Helm was a big part of that. He was the drummer and also one of the vocalists. And if you know the band at all, I don't know if you're a fan, Joe. These great harmonies that Helm and Danko and Richard Manuel sang together. But his drumming, Sandra Tooze, her first book was a biography of Muddy Waters. She took drumming lessons and found out just exactly what Levon Helm did, and he was an incredible drummer. And the main thing about him that I discovered in this book was, you know, and I'm not a virtuoso listener to rock and roll, but to separate out his drumming and his vocals, he did them at the same time, and it was like, I can't do that. I can't walk. But he could play one beat on his drums and sing vocals, you know, completely differently. So this is just a lovely, lovely book. It's illustrated, and it's the story of Levon Helm and the band.
It is called Levon by Sandra Tooze and published by Diversion Books. Okay.
And I just have to say that his daughter Amy. I met her a few weeks ago at a private memorial here in the Berkshires, and she was rocking out. They played some music at this memorial for this guy, and it was a lot of fun to realize that this was somebody who grew up listening to and playing with and loving her dad, and it was just a lovely, lovely moment.
Excellent.
So those are my books, and then I have two more that I want to talk about, but they're not quite out yet, but they're also local.
All right. Well, here's your choice, Matt. We can go like 3 minutes, or I can end it now. You tell me what you'd like to do.
Oh no, no, I want to talk about. I don't want to leave you.
No, I don't want you to leave me either. It's just whether we take the news or not. But go ahead.
Okay.
We'd love to talk to you.
First one.
We'll miss the British people, but it's fine.
It's coming in early November. It's called From the Ground Up. How Frontline Staff Can Save America's Healthcare by Peter Lazzi and Marie Rudden, who are Berkshire residents. And Peter has worked in labor management for 30, 40 years. Marie is a psychiatrist. And they have figured out one of the quotes from this book is by Bucky Fuller. Ironically, the Simulmatics Corporation, their first headquarters was in an early geodesic dome built by Bucky Fuller in Long Island. So then when I came across this quote, this just blew me away. Bucky Fuller, who says, in regards to anything but healthcare especially, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete.
I'm sorry, is this Buckminster Fuller?
Yes.
When did he start going by Bucky?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is that a term of endearment that just you, or is he recognized globally as Bucky?
Well, you know, Bucky and I had some moments back in the day.
I'm saying, you know, as the great Bucky Fuller, and I'm like, who the hell's Bucky Fuller? I thought he played for the Red Sox during the 50s, and no, it's Buckminster Fuller. Okay, got it now.
So these are examples of how frontline people in healthcare can know what's going on and want to change it so that healthcare is they pull it away from profiteering and back to its roots in healing.
All right,
and this is that book. And Peter and Marie will be doing a Zoom talk sometime in November. I'm not sure. Check with me. I'll have that on my website as well.
Bookstoreinlenox.com is where you'll find out.
And
that
then the last one is Madrid again by Soledad Fox, who is a professor of Spanish and comparative literature in Williamstown. And her novel Madrid Again is about a woman who is the daughter of a Spanish woman, but she's raised in America. And that's the surface, but the under the surface is the history of Spain in the 20th century and the 21st century.
Soledad
Fox. From Franco to the dictator, from the Civil War to Franco to post-Franco Spain.
And that'll be out later this fall.
Also from Arcade Books. And then I just want to mention that Beth Robbins, a great Barrington woman, wrote a book called The Grief Sublime about the death of her husband, and she and I will be doing a Zoom talk on October 1st in a couple of days, sponsored by the Jewish Federation of the Berkshires. And so, again, check with my website on that or check with their website.
Well, Matt Tannenbaum, as the great Bucky Fuller once said, it's time to vamoose. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, you can visit them at 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox, Massachusetts. You can also visit them online, bookstoreinlenox.com. Matt, you're the best. I thank you so much. It's always a great pleasure and treat to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
I will see you again.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, my man. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.